For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by me, Tony Lieber, and the kicker for your Golden Gophers, Matthew Trickett, was not able to make it to today's episode. Didn't work out with his schedule, so I'm riding solo today, but we welcome on a very special guest, former Gophers cornerback, Coney Durr. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Excited for this weekend, you know. Ready for the game. I always look forward to the games on the weekend. It's kind of funny how, you know, things change. So just excited, man, and I'm doing pretty good myself. So yeah
well, that's great to hear. And I guess we'll kind of start with where you left off with your Gophers career. Obviously you guys ended last season on a high note with a big win over Wisconsin and then the bowl game win. And then after that, you obviously went undrafted, and then you tried out with the Vikings in the rookie mini camp, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of how was that whole process with you for you after the season, and how did the whole, like, draft thing kind of go for you?
Well, obviously, you know, I was wishing I was on the team right now, but it went pretty smooth. I went trained, and I went trained in Denver. Spent about 3 months in Denver, came back to Minneapolis for pro day. My pro day wasn't the best, but, you know, you live with some things and you go, you know, you go with it. But so ended up getting picked up for mini camp from the Bears and the Vikings. You know, I didn't get signed by them. So kind of the whole summer just, you know, been working out. Didn't get a call in camp, but, you know, I got opportunities in the XFL. So definitely, you know, going to pursue that and hopefully get into a camp next fall. So pretty excited about the future. You know, it's just another challenge that I, you know, gotta, you know, get over. So it's nothing I've not faced in my life. So just, you know, taking it day by day and also, you know, working on, you know, career in real estate. So that's kind of been my life the past few months. It's been crazy, you know, a big change, you know, getting out of college and stuff like that. But, you know, it's all a part of the journey, you know.
Yeah, so we were talking before, and you mentioned that you kind of gotten into real estate, kind of, and you're obviously training to get another opportunity, like you mentioned with the XFL. Kind of, what's a normal, like, given day for you? And at the point you are right now, when you kind of are waiting for the XFL, and like, what's a normal day to day life of Coney Durr right now?
Okay, well, I mean, pretty simple. I mean, I usually wake up probably around 7, get coffee, kind of get my routine going. So I usually start, you know, with calls with my real estate business at about 9 a.m. So I'm calling probably from 9 to 12 and kind of doing, you know, work on that side of things. Then I'll go work out in the middle of the day, probably like 12:31, kind of take a break for the middle of the day and, you know, finish some real estate off for the rest of the day. So pretty try to keep a pretty, you know, tight schedule. I'm not the best with it. I'm getting, you know, better at managing all of this time that I, you know, all of a sudden have. So it's a challenge, but you know, I've been just trying to, you know, stay, you know, self-disciplined and go along with it, you know.
Yeah, you obviously mentioned the XFL a little earlier. How is that kind of whole opportunity work? And kind of how did they reach out to you? And I guess what are you expecting from that opportunity in the future?
I believe I got an email. I was invited earlier in the summertime. I put my name into the draft, and then I'm sure you've been seeing all of the draft invitations all over the internet. So I had mine about 3-4 months ago, just never, you know, posted anything with it. So the draft is coming up in November. So, you know, we'll see how that goes and, you know, where I end up. Just, you know, want an opportunity, basically. And pretty excited about that. I believe the season is in the spring. So, you know, it's going to start to pick up a little bit towards the, you know, end of, you know, regular football season. And it'll be, you know, beginning for me.
Yeah, I think those secondary leagues are a super important thing, because there's a bunch of guys like you that deserve another opportunity. And in other sports like baseball and basketball, there are opportunities for guys to get a second chance. And I think in football, there needs to be something like that.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy, because, I mean, if you think about it, football was the only, you know, sport in all of, I would say, professional sports that, you know, you don't have a developmental league, or, you know, guys that may have gotten overlooked, because, you know, you hear those stories all the time. And, you know, the majors, all this guy was in single A, and he, you know, like, or, you know, even with, you know, guys in the G League that come contribute off the bench in the finals, maybe, just, you know, yeah, stuff like that, you know, always just happens. So it's just great, you know, for guys to get opportunities and, you know, prove yourself and, you know, to get that opportunity to be able to say, you know, you stepped on the NFL field, you know.
Yeah. So I guess we'll kind of bounce back into the start of your college career with the Gophers. You kind of came to the program in an interesting time, kind of with the coaching changes and everything. And I know you were recruited by the past regime, kind of. And I know you're from Louisiana down south. What made you ultimately choose the Gophers, and kind of how was that recruiting process for you in such a, I guess, interesting time for the program?
Okay, yeah, definitely, man. I believe we're coming off a pretty decent year when they recruited me. So I signed in 2016. So 2015 year, it wasn't, is when Coach Keel, he had to resign because of the health issues.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the best year. But I the biggest reason I chose Minnesota was just the development of DBs by Jay Sauvell. It was six years in a row, a defensive back was drafted. So I knew, you know, we played good defense up here, you know, from Coach Keel's time here, you know, also. So just wanted to be in a spot that played defense. It was between here, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina. So those three schools were really my top schools, and Kansas State. So I took a visit up here, man, and just fell in love with it, you know, man. Just, I'm still here, so it's a sign, you know. It's just been awesome to be up here, and, you know, just the opportunities after football, I would say, is kind of the biggest benefit in the people, like, because, you know, you obviously contribute on the field and off the field while in the program, but the more I'm out of the, like, out of playing ball, but still can feel that, you know, family Minnesota feel while I'm here is this, you know, second to none. You can't really. Like, I don't even really want to go back home, man. I just love it up here so much. So, accept the winners.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm used to it, man. I'm blessed to, you know, be in this position I am today.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. You're obviously from down south. I'm assuming you haven't gotten adjusted to it yet. I don't think really anyone does. But how, I guess, hard was it those first few years to – because it is a massive difference from kind of where you grew up, climate-wise. How hard were those first few winters and, I guess, late springs for you in Minnesota?
I would say the winters were terrible. I remember the first time, like, really seeing a huge snow, I was just like, man, this is cool. It was cool, like, the first two times, and then I'm like, man, walking to class in it, and then you get those, you know, negative 20 days, And it's just like something you've never experienced in your life. Like, you can't even really explain it to the people that don't, you know, never experienced it. But it was tough. And really, I probably would say the worst thing would be how long the springs are. So it takes forever to warm up. Like, I remember being, you know, just even FaceTiming my mom or sister at home, and they swimming, and we sitting in like 30 degree weather. I'm like, man, this is the worst. But it's all worth it, you know. That's why I believe the summer is so big out here, because you know you get to appreciate each season.
Yeah,
and you know, yeah, people are outside a lot here in the summertime compared to Louisiana, because it's just so hot, man. Like, in the middle of the day, nobody's really outside unless it's, yeah, you're not really outside. You don't go outside until, you know, unless it's early in the morning or like in the evening time once it cools off. But you're not just, you know, so much activity up here in the summer for sure.
Yeah, it definitely makes you appreciate the nicer days, because, you know, there's going to be a stretch where there's not many of those. But going back to your time with the Gophers, you obviously didn't play under Jerry Kill for too long. You played more with Tracy Clays your first year. Kind of how would you compare him to Coach Fleck and the difference between kind of those two regimes?
The crazy part is, man, it's only a small amount I remember, because you got to remember I was with Coach Fleck about, what, 5.5 years, basically. Yeah. So I was really only with Coach Clays for that first semester of school. But I would say the biggest difference would be just a more structured and more layered program. I would say Coach Clay's, like, it was that regime of coaches. They were great coaches, great people, but it was just more, you know, laid back and just, you know, kind of football, you know. And I feel like with Coach Fleck, he pulls every single thing out of you. Not just from, you know, just football wise. It's just he gets everything out of you mentally, for support on that end. Educate, like, school wise, we always, you know, set new goals. When everybody get those grades at the end of the semester, just being a better person off the field, volunteering. It's just more, I would say it was a more layered program with just an overall life program, like you guys, you know, hear him talk about all the time.
Yeah. So kind of when you were a true freshman and they were making that transition to Coach Fleck, how would you, I guess, kind of like describe the like vibe around the program? Do you think there was like a excitement or kind of like almost like anticipation that people like didn't know what was coming next? How would you describe kind of that feeling?
Yeah, it was kind of like we didn't know. You know, this guy is coming from the MAC, and he had a great few years there and turned that program around. But you don't think about it like that. So you're just thinking like, man, like, you're not getting no super big name coach coming in. So you don't really know what they expect. The guys before recruited you. So you're like, man, do I buy in? Like, is this a place where I want to be? So definitely those first 2 years were super tough. What was it? 17, 18 were very tough in building the program. And I would say it's just grown so much, and so many more guys are bought in. And I'm sure you guys can see it from the outside how the program has changed as far as just, you know, just depth. It's just everything, you know, just the entire program and how guys are involved in the community. But it's just, you know, it's more guys buying in, Coach Fleck getting the type of guys that, you know, he wants in that buy into the program. And, you know, you guys are seeing the results now. And what I hate is, you know, in college football, we're so quick to bam a coach after, you know, 2 years, but a year or two, 3 years, you know, like they be on a short lease. But yeah, it takes time. It's not an overnight thing, you know. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of buying in, and a lot of, you know, you have to have the players to be bought in to really, you know, take the program anywhere. If the player's not bought into the program, it'll be hard to win unless you at, you know, those schools that's getting 10 5-stars a class. But, you know, that's not us. You know, it's a developmental program, you know, here at the U of M. So just, you know, ton of respect for Coach Fleck and his staff also.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing that right now. It just seems like The Gophers have so much depth at every position this year, and I think the developmental program is something that's really showing right now, because it just seems like their team's just flooded with talent at every position.
Exactly, man. Like, you got to think about, you know, I mean, we're not always the top 25 recruiting class, but Coach Fleck consistently starting to consistently put, you know, guys that compete at a high level, guys that been in the program 2-3 years, and now is their time to, you know, be on the field. And, you know, once you build that up over, you know, a certain amount of years, it becomes the standard. And, you know, you always want to raise the standard. So, and that's how you consistently win 10 games a year, you know, 11 games a year. So it's building a, you know, foundation with the program. And, you know, if it the culture and everything else stays, I mean, you consistently win on a regular basis, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so you mentioned how kind of tough those first couple of years with Coach Fleck were, and kind of just building up the program. How would you kind of, I guess, describe how fulfilling that 2019 season felt, kind of when everything came together, and it really showed kind of the potential that the Gophers have under Coach Fleck? Like, what would you say that's your favorite memory kind of in your Gophers career? Kind of where does that stand for you?
Yeah, that 2019 year was definitely special. We knew we had guys that could play, but I mean, you surprise yourself when you never done it before, you know, like when your school haven't won 11 games in what it was like 100 years, you don't think that way. Even, you know, coach implements it in the program and, you know, setting those goals, but until you actually do it and see that, oh, okay, we can do this at Minnesota, you know, it's possible. We have the talent, we have the coaches. It's a great feeling, man. And then you get to like, okay, all right, it's either this or bust now. Like, this is, you know, it keeps going up. Like, I tell guys, I talked to a few guys after the game this week, and I'm telling them, like, yeah, man, you know, we 4-0, but, you know, you guys were here. We were here in 2019, you know, don't get comfortable. You know what happened last time at the end of the season. So, you know, keeping the raising that standard is really, you know, the biggest thing with the program. And I'm excited, man. If you see me at the games, I'd be locked in, man. It's just amazing to see something, you know, I was a part of and built, you know, start to really get, you know, recognition and reach the next level. So it's just great, you know, to see that firsthand.
Yeah. So kind of looking at the team this year, I feel like one of the strengths of the Gophers this season's been their secondary, and it's going to continue to be their secondary, and specifically the cornerback room that you probably know, still good friends with a lot of those guys. And I think one of the best, I guess, stories this year has kind of been Terrell Smith's development at cornerback, and he's really kind of developed into one of the best corners in the Big Ten, if not college football. And I guess from your point of view, playing with him for a few years, was this something you kind of always knew he had? And has his play this year, I guess, did you know it was coming? And kind of how impressed have you been with him for his performance this year?
Yeah, I always knew. I mean, everyone across the program always knew T-Tom had the talent.
Yeah.
He had the ability, you know. At the end of the day, it really just came down to, I think, why he's having so much success is, you know, mentally he's there, and, you know, he's staying healthy. You know, he had a ton of injuries and through his career. So mentally he's locked in. He had a great offseason. I worked out with him a good amount of times, and I always knew he'll do well. I just, you know, for sure he locked in for the entire season. So we've been texting back and forth. It's funny how, like, we just talk about it. I was like, man, look, you have 12 games of, because, like, I believe he's been having great season so far. So I kind of, you got 8 more to go till you a millionaire. So I just let him know, like, you know, man, like, stay locked in, you know, and keep playing the way you're playing. And, you know, people are noticing. So, you know, now it's consistently putting that in every single game. And like I said, we do 4 for 4. All right, 5 for 5. Like, yeah, keep, you know, stacking them up. So it's exciting, and to see his success, man, is great. You know, he's been behind the scenes a lot the past few years, but for him to finally get his recognition and, you know, playing at a super, super high level at his size, will, you know, he'll, if he keep playing the way he's playing, you know, he'll make millions. So at that, you know, with that athletic ability. So it's just exciting to see him, you know, see success, and I can't wait to see what's next, you know.
Yeah, as on the other side of him, I feel like Justin Wally kind of has that same level of talent, obviously on the younger end, and you didn't play with him as much as you did with Terrell, but kind of how impressed were you with how well he played last year as a true freshman, and kind of where do you think, like, the what's his potential? Do you think he can be a top 100 draft pick in the NFL, and kind of how impressed have you been with him this season so far as well?
Yeah, definitely, man. So I would say I'll start off with he early enrolled last year, and I believe it was the first week of workouts. I was like, yeah, he's going to be the one. And what makes him so special, he reminds me of Antoine Winfield a lot because of the way he can transfer, you know, what he's being coached onto the field, plus with athletic ability and just a knack for the ball. You know what I'm saying? So you add those combinations into guys, you know, great kids, you know, they can learn and apply on the field fast. Great athletes and a ball hawk. I mean, you get the product you see on the field. So it was no surprise to me when he had success, you know, first coming out. He's one of the hardest, strongest guys in the weight room. He was one of the strongest guys as a freshman in the weight room. He's hungry. He's a great kid. He listens. You know, he's one of those guys that just, he's always taking advice from people. Like, I've had guys, if I tell them something, you know, man, all right, bro. Or, you know, just kind of give you a little attitude, but he always lock in, you know what I'm saying, and listen to older guys and get feedback and apply that to the field. And that's why he's, you know, been so successful, you know, so early in his career. And I definitely see, you know, him being a top 100 pick for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the talent's there. And it's been fun to watch this year, watch both those guys kind of lock down whoever they're going up against. And kind of looking ahead to this week, probably their toughest test, at least passing offense-wise so far this year. Purdue's a team that you guys had a lot of success when you were there. I think the Gophers have won four straight in the series, I want to say. But they're a very pass-heavy team, and they kind of have been the past few years. How did you guys, I guess, prepare for them when you were a player? And how do you think you've been able to have so much success almost as a pass defense against Purdue offense that's really one of the best in the country almost every year?
What I would say is what we preach, eliminate explosive plays, man. Those guys, they throw the ball 50 times a game, so they're going to get yards. They're going to make catches. It's preventing those explosive plays and making them earn it in the red zone. So I'm sure you probably see stats of, you know, us playing them recently. We always, you know, they'll drive the ball on us, but it gets to the red zone and, you know, you have to lock up. That's a very explosive offense, you know, with weapons everywhere. And last year they had guys like David Bell. This year I see they got the Charlie Jones, a transfer from Iowa, which, you know, he's a great exceptional athlete. So it'll be a challenge for those guys in the back end, you know, with us. So I'm excited to see them compete, you know, and actually, you know, they're going to get the ball. Purdue going to sling the ball. So we're going to see, you know, see the secondary, you know, have a pretty big challenge this week. And I'm excited to see that.
Yes. Last few questions I got you out on here, but you kind of saw defensive coordinator Joe Rossi's kind of climb up the ranks. He wasn't the defensive coordinator when you got there, obviously, but now he is. What do you think makes him such a good coach and good in that role? Because right now he's really looking like one of the best DCs in college football.
Oh, yeah, he's top five for sure, man. And it just was amazing because when he first got there, I believe he was an analyst, and he always talked about it. He was like class checking us. It's crazy when you go back to think about Coach Rossi was class checking us in class. But man, it's just his process of, you know, wanting to be better. And you know, guys just love to listen to him because he doesn't scream. He teaches, and I believe that's key to any coach, and you know, in today's world, you have to teach kids. You know, yelling and screaming, you know, it really doesn't solve anything. It's a lose-lose. So his process of, you know, just game week and over preparing and basically having the game plan as, you know, simple for us to be able to play fast, and this is, you know, push of the defense is practice is never, you know, Easy is always, you know, on us. And I mean, you guys see the results of consistency, preparation, and, you know, if you prepare, better than, you know, anybody, you see the results on the field, which I'm sure you've seen. And, you know, they playing great defense. So it's just, you know, credits to Coach Rossi and his process and the staff of, you know, those guys around and how, you know, much time they spend to, you know, put those guys in positions to make plays.
Yeah, definitely. Last question I'll get you out on here. What's your prediction for the year? They've obviously started out well, 4-0. I guess dude's emptying the garbage right now, a little loud, but started out 4-0. Do you think we're gonna go to Indianapolis, play in the Big Ten tournament or Big Ten championship? Kind of where do you think the ceiling is for this team this year?
And hopefully college football playoff, you know, that's the ultimate goal. But you know, for now you wanna kinda, I don't like speaking too soon, I don't wanna jinx anything, but I definitely they have the talent and, you know, team to go that far and, you know, compete for a Big Ten championship. So I believe it's just taking it one week at a time. Like I said before, you know, we've been here in this position before. It's gonna get, you know, we're gonna have tougher games, and it's about seeing this team and how they react over, you know, when they do have adversity. We haven't had adversity yet, you know, as a football team. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what works and, you know, what is just how it is down the road, you know, and I'm excited to see it. But I definitely want to be in Indianapolis in December and, you know, hopefully the college football playoff. And I'm excited, man. I've just been excited. I talk all day about the team. So I miss it too. So it's just been exciting to see them be successful this year. I already knew that they would, and seeing those guys like Mo come off an injury and Tanner playing, you know, great again. So it's exciting, man.
I lied. I got one more question for you. You obviously watch the home games at the stadium and go to the games. In the away games, are you a guy who watches it at home, or do you go to a bar? Or kind of where do you watch the away games from?
I actually went to a bar last week to watch the game in Michigan State, but yeah, I'm yelling, jumping up and stuff, man. I'm a former player. It is a lot. It's fun though, man. I get to experience that from the other side and kind of give you a little like, man, I wish I could be back on that field. But it's just great to see the, you know, the guys that I play with, you know, see success and do what they need to do. So that's probably the most exciting part for me.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this again. Wish you luck the best away or rest of the way. And thanks again.
All right, man. You have a good day.
You too.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.